You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. A Wood River Valley sports medicine doctor is home from spending time in Ghana, helping to educate other physicians in developing countries about the importance of exercise for health, as well as the need for sports medicine education. Dr. John Hotson-Bueller, HOTS for short, is joining me live in studio to talk more about his recent visit to Ghana. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Gemma.
So talk to me first about sports medicine. For people that may not know what it is, kind of what does that encompass?
Yeah, that's a great question. So most people are familiar with sports medicine as far as orthopedists go.
Mm-hmm.
So surgery, putting together shoulders, putting together knees when you tear your ACL. I'm not a surgeon. I'm a family medicine doctor by training, but then I did an extra fellowship in sports medicine, which is really kind of taking the whole global picture of
okay.
both exercise, sports, musculoskeletal health. Okay, so I do a lot of rehab recommendations. I do a lot of injections. I do a lot of concussion treatment, worrying about cardiac disease in sports, and also educating the population on the benefits of exercise, basically.
And so you are part of the American College of Sports Medicine. And so every year this organization does a big outreach program, right, to developing countries?
Yeah, mostly every year. So the way it works is the American College of Sports Medicine is, I think, the largest and more and premier sports medicine organization in our country. And so what happens is these countries who need faculty experts in their field that they don't have, they apply to the American College of Sports Medicine and request faculty come to their country and set up a programming, basically.
So you just recently went to Ghana, and you went with a group of other delegates, including, I believe, like the team doctor for the Minnesota Vikings.
Correct.
Right? So, I mean, these are, I mean, doctors that, I mean, you are truly practicing sports medicine. So why Ghana, first off?
Good question. So, again, because it's an application process, the year prior, the college had sent delegates to Kenya. And so this year, we chose Ghana because one of the applicants was spearheaded by a guy named Dr. Tony Annan, who's a Ghanaian-born doctor, but he practices in the UK. And he felt that what he learned or grew up with wasn't adequate in his country. And so he spent about 10, 15 years to try to get this process going. And actually, our year was the first year that they have now a sports medicine fellow in their country. And so our conference was the first sports medicine conference in the country ever. And it just kind of dovetailed with the start of this new fellowship program, basically.
So what do you, when you went over there, I mean, what were the topics that you hit on? And I ask this because I think sometimes we think conference, medicine, so okay, you're talking to a lot of doctors about medicine. But this is really, how do you turn sports into medicine?
Correct. Yeah, so, you know, a lot of the topics to start with were easy things like how do you take care of a knee injury? How do you take care of a shoulder injury? But then it kind of spearheaded into what they wanted more of, which is how do you educate a population on being more active? Because in their country, which we learned about, there is a big influx of people moving from the rural community to the more urban community mm-hmm. because of resource, family members, whatever. And instead of them going and gathering their food, being active in that process, they're now being much more sedentary. So it's starting to turn into, you know, the American
right.
disease, which
yeah.
is obesity, heart disease, diabetes, same kind of stuff. So they're beginning to struggle with that more and more.
That's interesting because I think that in America, we would view African countries not in that way.
Exactly, which is the stereotypical view if you
right,
haven't been there.
Right, it is.
Yeah, but when I went there, it's very dense. So I was at the capital, Accra. Very dense population, not a lot of movement,
mm-hmm.
opportunity, not a lot of parks, basically, you know, because there's houses all over the place. Obviously, they have developed things, but in general, once you get out of the center of town, it's very dense.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there people are, you know, moving from the northern region where they're getting less money and less resource into these urban areas and again, being less active.
So is it about also teaching about maybe how to make that cultural shift then of if you're not in rural areas, where, as you said, you're not being as active and you go to an urban center because we see that in America. Is it kind of working with these doctors about how do we shift perspective?
Absolutely. And actually, while we were there, we were interviewed by the public television program of the country kind of to promote this concept because it's really a foreign concept. Actually, one of the crazy things that happened when I was there is I was looking at the sports page just waiting for the conference to start, and the main headline was MRI is the problem for our sports team succeeding, which is somewhat foreign to us, right? So everybody who injures themselves here wants an MRI to know what's going on. And this article was stating that basically modern medicine was inhibiting their ability to do well. And so that's kind of their groundwork and their culture, basically. And so, you know, we were trying to say, well, you know, exercise, basically, if you wrapped it up into a pill, this is the exercise is medicine concept. If you wrapped up all the benefits of exercise, you'd be able to affect more change in mm-hmm. health in people than any other medication, you know, all medications combined, basically.
I'm talking to Dr. John Hatzenbuehler. He was on a recent trip to Ghana talking about sports medicine and the importance of sports as medicine. So I know you were, you know, the teacher in a lot of regards when you were over there, but what did you learn? What did you take back from this experience?
That's a great question. So, you know, my perspective really changed because, you know, as a invited faculty member, you know, when I go to our conferences, and I actually run a conference for the American College of Sports Medicine every year, which is called it's really a basic course on sports medicine essentials. And, you know, you're supposed to be the expert in the mm-hmm. field. You're supposed to, you know, tell people what's the cutting edge. Now you go over to a place like Ghana and the cutting edge is not even available to them, essentially. So we had to really readjust our thinking and sort of ask them, where are they, which is, you know, basically basic medical care, right? Mm-hmm. So they go from medical school to the rural community, and then they're delivering babies, they're doing appendectomies, they're doing all this kind of thing right out of medical school, which would be a, you know, never heard of in this country for probably 150 years, right? So we had to basically backtrack our level of discussion to bring it down to what would be most effective for them.
And you mentioned this earlier, that they are in Ghana, they're starting to see more increasing numbers of chronic diseases. So things like diabetes and all of that. And is this something that you know, medical workers, doctors over in Ghana, they're seeing this? Are they concerned? I mean, is this something that I wouldn't think it would be at a crisis level, but they don't want it to get there.
Correct. And the other interesting part is most of the medical professionals there train in different countries. So they grow up in Ghana, and then, you know, just kind of dovetails with our conversation last bit with teachers is education is their path out, basically. Mm-hmm. So they get trained in other countries, you know, first world countries where these concepts of exercise for health benefits is somewhat of a given, basically. But in Ghana, it's hot. It was like 97 degrees on the equator, and doing exercise in the middle of the day is not really an option. And also the concept of, you know, the kids take care of the grandparents, take care of the parents, where once you reach a certain age, which is younger than we anticipate here, you really don't do much, okay? And so then you just sit around, eat, don't be active, gain weight, get diabetes, get hypertension, get heart disease. Mm-hmm. And that's just really their cultural philosophy at this point. So it's hard for the medical professionals to come back to that and then be like, what do we do about this? And where do you even start, basically?
So what's interesting about this, though, is even though in our country, yes, this is a given, right, that sports, being active is good for you physically, we still have some of the highest rates of obesity in the world. So we can talk about it as much as we want, but what's that sticking point? What's not getting through in our country?
Yeah, that's a great question. If I had the answer,
right,
to that,
you'd be a millionaire.
Right. But really, the difference between knowledge and practice is what it's at, right? So exercise, it prevents heart disease, diabetes. We know that. It also prevents cancer. Okay, it prevents depression. Okay, if you take people who exercise or are fit, which the definition is they do 150 minutes of moderate activity a week, they die half as much. All things. Doesn't matter their cholesterol numbers, doesn't matter their blood sugar numbers, they just die half as much. The problem is you can't just take it. You have to do it. And that's where with commuting, jobs that are sitting, all these kinds of things, again, moving to more urban settings, people just have a hard time beginning to implement that into their lives.
And when you talk about that 150 minutes a week of moderate exercise, what does that look like? Because I think that's a sticking point for people,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, right. They're like, I don't want to go to the gym. I don't feel comfortable lifting weights. I don't want to go on the treadmill. What it looks like is us having this conversation, but every three or four words, we have to take a breath, essentially. That's moderate intensity. Heart rate 110, maybe 120. Just get a little sweat going. You can do that walking upstairs. You can do that walking around the block. You don't have to be organized in that.
And that's a good point, because I think sometimes there is, it is overwhelming and it is frightening for people to put that into place.
Correct. And 150 minutes sounds like a long time, but you can get it in 10 minutes.
That's 7 days a week. That's not that. It's not 150 minutes a day.
Correct. It's for the whole week. Exactly. Yeah. And you can get it in 10 minute chunks. You can do it in the morning. You could do it at lunch. You could do it after work.
So it doesn't have to
get it in.
So it doesn't have to be that extended.
Correct.
Amount of time. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate you coming in and talking about this. Some good information and education for all of us today. My guest today, Dr. John Hatzenbuehler, he was talking about his recent trip to Ghana, but also talking about sports medicine, but sports as medicine. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters.